Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by Brand Hook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
My guest for Chapter 7, Part 2 is Dan Gregory from the Impossible Institute. Dan is a regular on the Gruen Transfer and a C-suite advisor and a creator of cultural change. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Pip.
This is part two in the fourth way to close the gap between business and the consumer in this digital world. And we're going to talk about story doing, not just storytelling.
Excellent.
So welcome, Dan. Firstly, how important is it that brands have strong stories?
I think it's incredibly important. I think that if you think about the way human culture has evolved over the past 65 million years, the way we encapsulate our values in the most convenient, the most easily shareable, and even understandable way is through stories. If you think about every culture that exists on the planet, we're all the sum of our stories, whether they be religious stories, or philosophical stories, or historical stories. That actually is what builds us as a culture. And I think that in terms of human communications, you know, business has been probably too reticent to use, you know, the power of stories in their communications.
What do stories do for brands? You talked about it gives them a reason for being. It gives them some authenticity. What else does it do?
Well, I think what it does is it allows you to, in a very credible way, package your values up.
Mm.
Because if you walk into any boardroom in the country, you'll see a mission and vision statement up on the wall and perhaps a collection of values.
Mm.
But if I walk onto the factory floor and ask any of the employees if they can tell me what the values, vision and mission are, I doubt I can.
Mm.
However, if there's a story that brings those to life in a visceral way, and that story is understood by the staff, that's the kind of thing they can recite back. And I think that's what's really critical in the power of stories, is it allows information to be condensed in a really memorable, sticky way.
Mm-hmm. So when you're in with business and you're talking to the CEOs, how do you help them unearth their story? Where do you search for that story?
I think what you want to do is you want to build stories around experiences, because those are the things that we remember. It's not typically a story is not built out of, well, the brand said this, and so I pass it on, around on their behalf.
Mm.
Whereas it might be an experience. So, an example of that is, my goddaughter Darcy. Every year I buy her a charm bracelet that reflects out the year that we spent together. Now, this year I took it to Tiffany, and, the experience of how they treated her, not as a 7-year-old looking for a charm bracelet, but more like a 27-year-old looking for an engagement ring, which she will be one day, essentially that was a far greater story in terms of the experience that we had with just a customer service staff member than anything they could have said to me in their advertising.
Yeah. We talk to our clients about when they're looking for their stories to go back to their history, and in that history there'll be a nugget. Like, brands were born out of a reason to be, and often you forget that if it's a 100-year-old brand in.
Yeah.
And to go back to its story, why did the founder create this business in the beginning, and to work with that nugget to create to build on the story, really.
Yeah, and I think you can almost invent some of that story. We were working with so we have, as part of our business, we work with entrepreneurs, and we were working with an entrepreneur the other day who's a tree arborist, who makes sure that the the tree that gets cut down doesn't get wasted. So the other part of his business is he turns the tree that gets cut down into furniture.
Oh, wow.
And one of the ideas that we talked about with this arborist was, you know, as they take the tree that's been cut down and turn it into furniture, to etch or to carve the story of that tree into the furniture. So it's not just a bench in the backyard or a coffee table in the lounge room. It's a story piece that people get to tell every time someone asks them about that piece of furniture. They actually, well, actually, the story's carved into it. Let me tell you about it.
I love that. That's brilliant. At Parentalk, we believe in story doing. So one of the things we think is that it's great to have a story, but to demonstrate that in within the customer experience. One of the brands we talk about is Twillery, which is the men's shirt brand, which you can buy online. And in that, when you buy your shirt and they deliver it to you, you get another package, which is where you can put your old shirts in, send it back to them, and they will launder it and send it on to their career change charity.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about that is that they could say we give 10% of our money to the homeless and, you know, that's great. But actually they've gone that extra step to say we really believe in this. This is our philosophy. We're going to make this part of our customer experience.
Well, they're walking their talk. Yep. And look, another great example of that is Tom's Shoes, you know, it actually doesn't really exist in Australia other than online. But, you know, their story is every time we buy a pair of Tom's Shoes, a pair of shoes gets given to someone in the third world with no shoes.
Mm.
I actually bought my my reading glasses from Tom's, you know, and when you buy a pair of glasses from Tom's, they actually pay for eye care or eye checkups in the third world.
Mm.
So again, there's a congruence between the product that you get or the product that you buy from them and the experience and the story that they build behind it. And Twillery's exactly the same. It's not like they've backed a charity that's completely disconnected from their core competency, in other words, you know, providing clothing for people.
Mm.
They've actually linked their corporate social responsibility with the core of what their brand is, and so it seems less, you know, as you said, it seems less put on or less of a token gesture.
Yeah, it seems more authentic. Do you find that do you struggle with the employees and wanting to adopt this kind of story? Like, do you see resistance when you start to explore stories with brands?
Yeah, yes, but I think part of the reason we see resistance is we don't give people the tools to make it happen. Mm. So my business partner Kieran and I were recently in, you know, we went to buy some office furniture. So we went to IKEA, and I mean, usually I hate IKEA. You know, you go in.
Can't see you in IKEA.
You go in looking for a bookcase. They bring out a flat pack box, hand you an Allen key, and go, here, put that together yourself. So I like to rip up a $50 note, hand it to them, and go, you know what? Here, put that together yourself. But we walked into IKEA. We were just after some office furniture, and it was pouring down, raining outside. We walked into the foyer, and there was a chalkboard sandwich board in the foyer, and handwritten in chalk was, it's raining outside, so we've cut the price of our umbrellas in half.
Yeah, I love that.
And so we went to speak to the manager because, you know, whenever we see something extraordinary, who did that? We wanted to meet the employee. And what we found was that that's a sign that they always have in their storeroom, and they train their staff to wheel that out when it's raining.
Mm.
So I think, you know, one of the things that we do is with, you know, customer service staff is we say, you know, be customer friendly, you know, greet them with your eyes first, smile from the inside. So we give them generic advice as opposed to that's something that's behavioral that creates an experience that's story worthy. And I think we need to create the tools for our people to generate those stories within customer experiences.
Yeah. I interviewed one of the managers at Rockpool, Neil Perry's restaurant, earlier in the series, and she talked about care actually as being how they're able to be so consumer focused, and she said it's because it comes from Neil's care of the supplier, the food suppliers and the wine suppliers, and then that filters through to the people on the floor that he cares about them, and then that actually just naturally goes through to the patrons, that idea of care. And I thought that was lovely actually for even a business to take on board, to really not just think about your segments or your tribes but to actually think about the people that buy your product and really care for them.
Look, I think it's about congruence of behaviour too. I think the other thing that's interesting in that model is Neil, who interestingly I interviewed Neil for my first book, but you know, Neil treats his staff like his first customers. Mm. He sells to them, he sells through them. And I think that there's a congruence in his behaviour. And it's, I mean, it's almost going back to what your nan told you. You know, treat people the way you expect them to treat others and them to treat you. I mean, it sounds trite, but we don't do that a lot in business. No. And I think that's actually a very human experience.
You talked about the brands we talked about that have good stories are fundamentally non-Australian. Are there any good Australian brands that you think are telling good stories or doing good stories?
Look, it's an interesting question. I think... Yes, there are. And I think the people that do it well are people, for instance, in the, food and resource production. So people in... I think the winery business tells good stories. Mm. I think anywhere where there's a good provenance story, you want that. And I think, South Australia. South Australia's entire positioning as a state... is built around their terroir, and the richness of the earth, and it's all that kind of stuff. But I think there are certain meat suppliers, Lilydale Free Range Chicken tells the story of why they do what they do, and I think that there are a few brands that do that particularly well. However, I do think it over indexes in terms of raw food supplies, because I think we tend to be more generally interested in that.
Do you get much inspiration from overseas versus here? Do you find you get more inspiration and you're able to bring those experiences back here?
Look, yes and no. I to be honest, I actually find that the work that we do with entrepreneurs teaches us more than with your work that we do with the corporate world.
Oh, really?
So only because they're more... experimental. They're in some ways they should be more risk averse because it's their whole life, but they're not. Kieran and I probably spend 4 or 5 months in the US every year. We've got clients in the US and that exposes us to a broader world. But I think generally a lot of the clients we work with here have an appetite for looking overseas as well. One of the interesting things about Australians is we're very laid back, or supposedly laid back culturally, but incredibly conservative commercially. And I think that we could be far more innovative than we are. And there is a general level of it's funny, the American culture is on the whole more conservative culturally, but more innovative in a commercial sense. And I think we're a little bit the opposite.
Totally. I mean, I was talking to Christian about this in the last week's series, and he's English, and we were talking about how Australians are quite adventurous. You know, when we go to another country, we get up at 9 in the morning and we tramp the streets until we can explore every corner. Yet, commercially, we don't take no risks whatsoever.
Yeah, it's... whereas compare ourselves to the Kiwis, and as much as it's awful to ever say anything nice about the Kiwis, but a far more early adopter culture. They're far more adventurous. We did a lot of work with brands in New Zealand over the course of the years, and there's an appetite for new, and there is something culturally about, and even politically in Australia. I think one of the problems with Australia is we've had it very, very good for a very long period of time, and our attitude in politics and business is don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
It could all go horribly wrong.
Oh, and we said this yesterday, amazing things come from dark places, and we haven't had any very many dark places, really, have we?
Well, it's funny, in my early 30s, I travelled the world working as a stand-up comedian, and almost no one who's a stand-up comedian had a really smooth life. Mm. You're either from an ethnic minority, or you were disabled, or you had heartbreak, or you were the fat kid at school. Something bad happened in order for you to become funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's in some ways there is a malaise and an inherent laziness, not in terms of work ethic, but laziness in terms of thought process in Australians.
I agree. So just lastly, now that we're living in this digital revolution, and I would like to comment on the authenticity of this recording, Dan, because we are in a cafe, and so we're getting all the beautiful noises, which I like, the birds and the baristas. Now, so we're living in this digital world. What what can brands do to communicate and connect their story in this world? I mean, how, you know, I talk about the old days, but when I worked in advertising, we'd stick a 30-second ad on the telly, you know, you'd put your product, your shelf on product, they'd compare the two, and then they'd buy it. I mean, it's very different.
Look, I think what you want to do is you want to allow yourself to be responsive in the moment, but you also want to design experiences for stories.
Yeah.
And I think that that's... I actually think you need to do both.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time with, you know, doing strategic work for clients now that is far more about behaviour design than it is about comms strategy.
What's that mean?
Well, essentially what we look to do is we'll look at the environment, we'll look at the design of the environment, we'll look at the kind of language that the staff use, the kind of interface of the experience in the digital space, such that the brand shows up in the behaviour of the staff or the behaviour of the website or whatever digital interface you're using in a way that it typically doesn't.
Mm.
But then in terms of responsiveness, now I had a problem with a brand the other day and I tweeted about it. And I said, look, someone from complaints had better get in touch with me or I'm calling the ombudsman. And I got a tweet back from the site saying, this is a corporate site, you'll need to tweet to our... You know, and I'm like, dude, seriously, why would you say that publicly?
Yeah.
Compare that to Morton's Restaurant in the US, which is a terrific story, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard it, but Peter Shankman was this guy on a two-hour flight to Newark Airport in the United States, and he was hungry, so he tweeted Morton's, which is a steakhouse in the US, hey, Morton's, I'm hungry, meet me at Newark with a steak. Now, in the 2 hours he was in the air on the flight, someone at Morton's, a staff member, saw that, had an idea, called head office, got permission for that idea, then called the nearest Morton's restaurant 23 miles away from Newark Airport and got them to send a guy in a tuxedo to the airport to find out what flight Peter was on, go to the gate and wait there with a bag with some steak, some mashed potato and some garlic bread in it. Now, no way to run a business.
Yeah.
You're not going to make profit that way.
No.
But how amazing is that in terms of story potential?
Yeah, fantastic.
And all of a sudden, your conception of... So what's your expectation of the service at Morton's now?
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's based on one story, one thing that happened once. And that's the power of stories, is a story allows you to redefine what a brand can mean and what an experience expectation might be to close that gap. One story more than, you know, $10 million worth of television advertising could have done.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well, thanks, Stan. Thanks for your time.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Pip.
Thanks to all the listeners. Next week, we've got John Broome, the CMO of Kellogg's, talking about the importance of the intuitive bond and how... you know, building an intuitive customer experience actually keeps that engagement with your customers. But, yeah, look, that was brilliant. And I think, you know, we all agree that great stories, you know, do create great brand experiences. And I think we'll be telling this story, Dan, of, you know, sitting in the cafe and recording some good podcasts.
I hope so. I hope it gets shared.
It will get shared. Thank you.